Okay, and I'm sorry, where did we leave off?
So we were wrapping up the story of the little girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
So
yeah, go ahead. Hey everybody, welcome back to Sleep Snatchers. It's so good to have you here and tuning in to another episode. I know it has been a hiatus for a while and having folks on the show, but I have a really good episode for you guys here today. So I want to welcome Lena on the show, and she's going to share quite a few of her experiences with us today. So welcome to the show, Lena.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course.
How are you doing
I'm
today?
Really excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. How's your day going?
It's going well and going even better that now that I'm here on your amazing podcast and I get to share my experiences.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. I'm just going to let you go ahead and take it away and start not explaining, but sharing your experiences with us. And I'm just going to chime in if I have any questions, but go right ahead.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
So I've made some observations throughout my life, and I actually want to start before me and before my mother and going to my grandmother. So I believe that so many things are connected. And, you know, we're all created in our mother while our mother is in her mother. So there's a strong matrilineal connection and grandmother connection. And I think that's important because my grandmother actually had a lot of experiences that she shared with me. So my grandmother passed away when I was around 13. I think I had just turned 13. And she passed away not long after that. She had cancer and other conditions. But before she went, it was very interesting. It was like she almost did an information dump and download with me, where she talked about her own experiences of having vivid dreams. Her dreams were more along the lines of premonitions, though. And throughout my life, she would say little things to me that I didn't realize were premonitions that came to be true later in life. So when I was very young, she started teaching me Latin, and it was because she wanted me to be a doctor. And if I couldn't be a doctor, she wanted me to be what she referred to as a nurse boss. So she definitely wanted me to be in the medical field, and she definitely wanted me to be in leadership. She told me she had dreams about it. And coincidentally, that's the field that I'm in, is healthcare. And I am definitely a leader and work with lots of nurses and physicians. So that was one thing. It took many years for me to realize it, but that was one thing that she taught me. Now, it could be that maybe she just planted that seed in the back of my mind, but I really do believe that her dreams and what she shared with me were true. Sadly, she shared other things that were really tough. When I was about 12, she was very upset, and she shared with me that as a teenager, I would be assaulted. And she pretty much told me who the person was, how I would meet the person. And this is something that she said she had in a dream. And she was right. I hate to say it, but years later, come to find out through my experiences, everything that my grandmother told me did happen. And it wasn't until maybe a couple of years after, when I was really recovering from that assault, that I remember her telling me that. So I felt very comfortable talking to my grandmother about various things. And I can say that my dreams and my sleep paralysis started when I was very young. I have vivid memories of being very small and seeing faces just floating around me as I laid in bed, desperately trying to go to sleep. And it was terrifying. I would see shadows. I would see these faces. I remember a couple of times waking up, sort of like having a waking up feeling and being on the ceiling, like pressing up against the ceiling and then having that falling into bed feeling. Have you ever experienced that, the falling into bed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is so real when I tell you, like, once you hit the actual, like, when you jolt awake, the fall is like you are just free falling.
Yeah. Yeah. So I felt very comfortable talking to my grandmother about these things. And again, I felt like we had this kinship. So in an effort to try to understand what I was experiencing, my grandmother was validating, but I would do, as a child, I would do research, quote unquote, and I would watch scary movies and horror movies. I thought, some of the things that I'm seeing, these shadows, these faces, I'm seeing those repeating patterns in these movies. And I wonder if other people are having this too. And that's why they're making movies about it. I remember drawing pictures of what I seen. Now, in contrast to my grandmother, my mother was very religious, Christian religious, to the point of fanatical. So she was in a religion that absolutely rejected any and all of what myself and my grandmother openly experienced and talked about. So I couldn't really talk to her. And I still, to this day, I don't know if she too had those experiences or she had that insight. So going through my life, I had several different experiences. I can share a couple of stories, some of the more scary stories, so to speak. So I remember when I became a mother, again, with that mother and matrilineal connection, when I was pregnant, I remember laying in bed and every night I would hear, it sounded like someone walking around and then running around my apartment. And it was terrifying. So my partner, my son's father, he would always be asleep when it happened. And I felt very much alone, pregnant, laying there alone. I realized too that when I got pregnant, my sleep paralysis and vivid dreaming and some other connections too, which I'll get into a little bit later, really intensified. So during this time, there was another situation where I was laying in bed and I turned over, and right in front of me was this gremlin. It's very hard to describe. I've heard this creature being called a machine elf in other situations, like when I've talked about it, and it was terrifying. I mean, this thing had this huge mouth with this teeth and just dripping like bloody saliva and just standing right next to me. And when I tried to scream, absolutely nothing came out. I felt so powerless and so helpless right there next to my son's father. And as I started to leap out of the bed, this creature, what I've heard called a machine elf in other discussions, literally like flipped and rolled over the bed and disappeared. And of course, I just laid there completely paralyzed. And when I woke up, or when my son's father woke up and we actually like woke up to get our day started, I shared the experience with him. And to my delight, he absolutely believed me.
Oh, goodness. And said, "Hey,
I've had my experiences too," which is also interesting because his grandmother was very in tune. And when I talked to her, she had these experiences. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were saying something?
Oh, no problem. Oh, wow. I love how you explain everything. And but, you know, I've also had encounters with that sort of machine elf looking creature. And yes. And see, mine was not during paralysis. It was actually during during a shrooms trip, and it was my very first experience and my last experience. I have not done shrooms since then, but the elf that I saw, it had these like almost like purplish reddish eyes, but the grin was so wide, it was almost from ear to ear, and it was like rows of teeth, like really like packed, you know, like
yes,
it didn't go all the way like all through the roof of his mouth, but the teeth were so tiny, and it was all the way from the one side of the face to the other, and it was smiling, and it looked almost like it was in pain from smiling.
And the teeth look razor sharp.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes. And it's absolutely frightening. And of course, being pregnant, I was very, my senses were heightened where I was so overprotective of this child growing inside me. And my child is completely safe and doing well. And he's 19.
Oh, so wonderful.
But, you know, I was very nervous and very aware of my surroundings. And I think that being pregnant with him really kind of amped up my sensitivity to these sort of things. Mm-hmm. But yes, that crazy razor sharp teeth machine elf with the red bloodshot eyes, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. Absolutely terrifying. So going back to when I would hear this running and jumping all around the apartment, I woke up my son's father one night and I said, "Hey, you just fell asleep. Sorry for waking you up. I know you got to wake up early in the morning, but I need you to hear something. Just wait a few minutes," because we had just hit the bed and he was like knocked out. And I woke him up and I said, "I need you to listen because I need to know that this is real." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Okay." So he's laying there and he heard boom and just running around the apartment. And we kind of lived in the hood. So it was like the apartment, you know, we were young and it was all that we could afford. And the apartment had different places in the floor where it creaked. So it was very specific. So we could literally hear whatever this was running from the kitchen, around the living room, to the bathroom, near our bedroom, and back to the kitchen. And he freaked out and he was like, "Oh my God, what do we do? Someone's in here." I said, "Nobody that we can see is in here. We just need to lay in bed and wait till it stops." And of course we fell asleep and it was no big deal. Woke up in the morning and it was fine. I thought it was interesting that his grandmother was also very sensitive. We called her Grammy. We just love Grammy. Mm-hmm. She's wisdom, just a beautiful, beautiful woman and soul. And she would talk with these things about, or she would talk about these things with me. And it was very validating to know that this woman that I loved and respected also had these experiences similar to myself, similar to my grandmother. And I think she kind of passed that along to my son's father. So he had shared other experiences with me where he had these waking sleep paralysis moments, or he would see things, but then he would shake it off and say, no, he just didn't feel confident or comfortable telling anyone. And he did share them with me. And later he did share it with my son as well, because my son has had his own experiences. So I think my son kind of got a double whammy from my matrilineal line and then his father's grandmother. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll let my son, when he comes on your show in a future episode, I will let him tell you all about his experiences. I don't want to speak for him and kind of ruin the momentum there, but I'm happy to share my own experiences that I had firsthand that I do believe were heightened by my pregnancy and becoming a mother. So after my encounter with the awful machine elf, oh my God, that thing, look, I'm still like having trauma to this day about what that thing looked like. After I had my son, it was maybe a month. He was about a month old, maybe even a few weeks, actually. And I remember laying in bed. And just to preface this before I really get into the story, I've looked online, I've went in chat rooms, I've Googled it, and usually Google has all the answers. And I was not able to find anything about the experience I'm about to share. So flashback, you know, almost 19 years. So I have this baby, this adorable little infant guy, and he finally goes to sleep. And I'm like, thank goodness, now I can rest. New moms get no rest. So I lay down, and as soon as I get comfortable and start going into the sleep mode, all of a sudden my body starts vibrating. And it was like, wow, okay, this is new. I haven't experienced this level before of like vibrating that I cannot stop. So my whole body and being is vibrating. And it was almost like a sound attached to it. Very low level. It's very hard to describe. So I'm not even going to try, but a very low level kind of sound. And the door opened. And when my bedroom door opened, my entire bedroom was blood red. It was like someone had taken a red spotlight and shined it directly into my bedroom. And what followed was the shape of a very large man that was even more solid, yet still that bright blood red color. And he walked into the room. And I was absolutely terrified on one hand, but then on the other, it was like, okay, I don't necessarily think that this is malevolent, you know, so I wasn't ready to jump out of my skin or run out of the room, even though I absolutely could not. I was definitely bound to my bed in a sleep paralysis mode, but I didn't really feel that absolute fear like I felt with the machine elf. This was just more of a terror of, I've never seen this before, so it's different, but I don't think anything bad is going to happen. So that actually repeated every night for maybe 2 years.
Wow.
Where it was every single night, my room would go red. And I remember thinking to myself, all right, here comes my little red buddy. He's going to come walking through the door any minute. And inevitably, this red creature, person, it was like the shape of a large man, would come walking in. So now I'm going to ask you, have you ever heard of anything like that?
Not the man, well, so not the blood red part. However, the shadow figure within the red, yes. The shadow figure, I've also experienced entering a room, and I'm sort of just laying there and having a paralysis episode, but I have not experienced the red. Now, I have experienced being in a paralysis episode and seeing like pink and green balloons floating around the room, which is completely weird. It's so weird and random. And I had this experience like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I was away at a film festival and I was just trying to get like a nap in between screenings. And I, you know, went back to the place we were staying at and I just take a nap, you know, and I don't expect to have any issue. And lo and behold, here comes a sleep paralysis episode as I'm dozing off. And the paralysis episode takes over. I have that vibrational stage that you're talking about. It's vibrating through you, around you, and all over. And you can hear it and you can almost see the vibrations. They're so strong. And so after the vibrational stage, I completely go numb. And that's how I knew I was having a paralysis episode. And within that moment, I sort of hear the door creak open. And with that door creaking open, the pink and green balloons start to circulate the room. And with that is also an entity that's sort of, I was sort of laying on my side. So I was away from the door. So I heard the door open. I didn't see it, but I did see the balloons float into my peripheral of where I could see. And then they sort of started to come into the area where I could see. But behind me was that sort of entity or that being, and it was walking in, and I heard the footsteps.
Oh,
and Yes, and it walked up to the bed that I was sleeping on, and it sat at the edge of it, and I was freaking out, and I could not move. My heart rate was increasing, and it was, I really was like, help, help, you know, and I couldn't get anything out. And in that moment, the entity or whatever it was, it actually touched my sort of back of my leg closest like to my ankle area. And I was like, at that moment, my heart started like fluttering. And so I was just like, just go to sleep, try and go to sleep and wake up, go to sleep and wake up. And I did. And I popped up so fast and I left that place I was napping in and just did not. And the good thing is I was sharing the room with someone who just was not there at the time. She was at a screening, you know, but I was just, I was outdone. I was not in that, the home we stayed in alone ever until we left the film festival.
I think that was a really smart move. That was absolutely terrifying. As I was listening to you describe it, I just got goosebumps.
You know, like the balloons, it's so real.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I will say that when you feel something touching you, it just takes it to a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
Teenager, we lived in this house and we always called it a haunted house because there was very odd things that happened in this home. And it was actually, unfortunately, the site of a murder where the people who owned the house, they had sons, and one of their sons was a psychopath, and he murdered a young girl there. And we didn't know that as teenagers, me and my brother, until well after we moved there, and we've seen all kinds of things. Mm. But there were many times where I would be asleep, and I would feel something shake my foot.
Ooh.
Shake my foot awake. And it sounds like it's straight out of a horror movie, but I would feel someone pull the blanket off of me and I would wake up and my blanket would be off of me. One explanation could be, yeah, I did that in my sleep, I kicked it off. But I tell you, when I would feel something grab my foot and yank the blanket, it was absolutely frightening.
Mm-mm. No.
My brother and I, we would probably need like a whole other show to talk about it. And I'm happy to come back on and talk
please.
More.
Please.
Yeah, and my brother and I
talk for hours.
Yeah, so we had experiences where we heard singing in the backyard that would come closer and closer. It was very scary. So I don't know, do we have time where I could get into that?
Absolutely. And so I'll be able to cut this out, this little snippet here, but when we get to around maybe 2 minutes, I'll just refresh the call and we can keep going. Yeah. Okay. It's just because I don't have the pro version. They're like, you only have 40 minutes.
right. No, I know. So, okay, well, then I will go ahead and get into that story. So thank you for being gracious with me. So my brother, he also had, I think, a little bit of what my grandmother and I have. And one night we're playing dominoes. Like, we're having a good old time. We're playing dominoes. He was smoking weed. At the time, I was absolutely afraid of doing any alcohol, drugs, or anything like that. He was older than I. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting there smoking weed. We're playing dominoes. And he says, hey, Lena, I've heard really strange things outside my room lately. And I'm like, yeah, because you're high. And he's like, no. He goes, look, maybe because I'm high, but you're not. So can we test something? And I said, sure, let's go for it. You know, I was all in. You know, I had been experiencing odd phenomena since I was very young. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. So he says, I just want you to focus and clear your mind and listen and tell me what you hear. So we did that. And we heard singing in the backyard, which was very far away. And it was just single notes. It sounded like a little girl singing. So I got all excited and I was like, hey, I heard that. And he goes, yeah, I heard it too. So we did it again. And the singing was actually closer. It was in the laundry room this time. It was much closer. So I broke the concentration because I'm frightened, one, and two, I'm excited. Like, oh my God, we're connecting here with something.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrified and he goes, oh my God, yeah, yeah, I heard it. It's much closer. And I said, I think it's in the laundry room. And he goes, yeah, I think so too. So right after that, my best friend comes busting in through the laundry room. Me and my brother yell. But my best friend, we told her what we were doing. And she said, nope, and left. And she goes, I'm going back in the house. Y'all are crazy. I don't want no parts of this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So so I said, hey, come on, let's do it again. So we did it again. We just very much calmed our minds. And we heard it. It was closer, but not much closer. So he goes, okay, you know what? I've heard enough. I've been validated. You heard it as well. And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, let's go back to playing our dominoes. We go back to playing dominoes. And maybe 2 minutes later, my brother goes pale white and he's staring directly behind me. And I stopped and I said, are you okay? And he couldn't speak. So I looked behind me and there was this small white child with blonde hair, wearing a blue and white dress with the most frightening resting bitch face I've ever seen on anyone.
Really?
And she was maybe, you know, I was sitting down and she was maybe just about my height, sitting down in this chair. So she was small, like maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, I jumped up, I ran to the other side of the table and my brother was like, I think we took it too far this time.
And was her face just flat, like she had no emotion in it?
It was definitely, so when I say resting bitch face, like there was no emotion and her vibe and her energy was frightening. I was frightened for weeks. I mean, I was constantly looking over my shoulder because that's where she was when my brother seen her. And
that's scary.
It was terrifying. And it was almost like something that you would see in a Conjuring horror movie or something. And this was in the 90s. Let's see, how old was I? It was like 95. I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrified for weeks, maybe even months. And we would talk about it. And my best friend was like, I'm so glad I noped out of the room when y'all were doing that crazy mess. And yeah, we actually still talk about it to this day on occasion where it's like, hey, remember when we were playing dominoes? And my brother will be like, oh yeah, how about we not talk about that? Because we're not trying to see no, that little girl.
It's just the fact that you were able to see exactly what your brother was seeing.
Yes.
And share that experience, because that is something scary. And the fact that singing was involved, it makes it seem like the little girl wasn't really just a little girl. Oh, creepy.
It's given me goosebumps talking
me
about
too.
It. I don't even want to imitate the singing that we heard. It was just like very mono, kind of like a one note, very high pitched, like a little girl just singing one note and then two notes. And then when she got closer, it was three notes. It was very methodical. And again, it was almost like something out of a horror movie, but my brother was just so excited that someone else was experiencing a little bit of what he had experienced. And, you know, and of course, someone who wasn't high that could tell him, oh yeah, this is really happening and it's not just drugs.
You know, and so that high-pitched singing reminds me of this scene that I saw in this horror movie called As Above, So Below.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies. And my son too, coincidentally. That movie is terrifying.
Is that kind of what it was like? The humming that those ladies were doing underground? Or was it not as much like creepy like that?
It was not that creepy. It was more of like you would hear a child playing and they're singing to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still terrifying given the context.
Absolutely. No kids around.
No kids around. We're all teenagers. And also, too, at that point, we had been made aware of the history of the home. And the child that was murdered was not found there on the property. But the person who committed the murder, and he's still in prison from what I understand, or at least from what my parents told me, that he was going to be in there for life. You know, I was a teenager, and when I found out, I was highly concerned. But that person lived in that home. So to me, it just kind of, it was a little bit of an explanation why we see this little girl there, but it was also sad and terrifying at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So there was, so that wasn't the end of it. And what was interesting with my Christian religious fanatic parents, who didn't believe in any of this stuff and vehemently rejected it, it was interesting how they had an awareness around it still, especially my mom. So it was funny because we all knew that if we went in the backyard to feed our dog, we had this beautiful bull mastiff that we had since he was a puppy and we just loved him, and a Rottweiler. So we had these dogs in the backyard, and it was well known that if you went in the backyard, that the very heavy sliding glass door would close on its own and lock shut behind you. And my mother, who was very in denial about all of this, would say things like, well, be sure when you go outside to feed the dogs that you take your house key with you, so that we could go around to the front of the house and unlock the front door. And it was very interesting. So, you know, I left this house, of course, when I was 19. I was blessed with a pretty good job, and I was able to be self-sustaining. And going back to when I had my son and became a mother of my own, this house kind of intertwines with that. So there came a time when my son's father and I broke up, and it was a pretty abrupt breakup. And I needed somewhere to stay immediately. I did not want to explore other options. I thought, you know what? I have a loving family that I can stay with. My brother was still staying in this home with his wife, who was also my best friend, the one who noped out of the garage. They ended up getting married and having two kids.
Oh, awesome. That's amazing.
Oh, I know. And her and I are still best friends. Yeah. My brother and her are long divorced, but she is still the bestie. Mm-hmm. So when I left my son's father, instead of frantically trying to move into a new place, I thought, you know what? I have a pretty soft landing pad over here. We're all making decent money. We can make this household work for a little while until I save up a down payment and move into a house of my own away from my son's father. So I moved back in there, and immediately the shenanigans start back up. And actually, let me retract that. I think that they never stopped. I just wasn't aware of it because I wasn't living there. So my son and I, we stayed there. He had his own room. He was about a year and a half, and I had my room. But sometimes to comfort him and help him go to sleep, I would stay in his room. And there were times where his bed would start shaking wildly. And I would like yell out and say, yo, knock it off. So whatever was listening, knock it off, right? And oftentimes, you know, it would go on for a little while and then it would stop. But it was scary. And there were other situations that happened that really put me on edge. And again, involving my son. So when my son was about a year and a half, we went to the park and came home, and I was putting him in the bath and he's playing in the bathtub, and I hear the front door open. And I was expecting my brother and my two nephews, who were very young. So my nephews, Alvin was a year and a half. My nephews were 2.5 and 3.5. So they were all just like in bureau card. And I was expecting them back from a fishing trip that they went on earlier in the morning. So I heard the front door open, and I heard my youngest nephew, who had a very distinct little raspy voice, come in and say, Alvin, we're home. And my son responded, and my nephew's name is Jesse. So Alvin responded, Jesse. So I thought, okay, well, let me get Alvin out of the bathtub and get him dressed so he can go play with his cousins. And I get him out of the bathtub, getting him dressed, and my brother and my two nephews aren't home. So I thought, oh, they must have stepped out for a bit. About 15, 20 minutes later, my brother and my nephews come inside. And I said, hey, where'd you guys go? And my brother looked at me and he goes, we went fishing, remember? And I said, yeah, but you guys came home like 20 minutes ago and then left again. And my brother just looked at me. He goes, we were never here.
Ooh, goosebumps again.
Goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps.
Again. Oh, this is like the fourth time. And this is really good call because, you know, it's a great mix between the paralysis and ghost experiences and the doppelganger voice phenomenon, you know? Yes. And I too have experienced that. And my experience was in, this was probably like 2016. I was working on a show with my friend Rose, and we actually were staying together at my brother's. He was living in Wisconsin at the time, and we were staying with him to cut costs on staying in a hotel. And so we, what was that?
I said smart.
Yeah. You know, we were like, we're not coming out of pocket for this. Yeah. So we were staying in the living room, and he had two sofas, which were perfect. They were in an L shape, and one was a little further away, though, on the furthest wall, and the other one was, like, on the wall right across from the television. And I had the couch that was right across from the television, and one night random night, TV's off, everything is off in the house. You could hear a pin drop. It's so quiet. And my brother and his family, they're actually upstairs and everyone asleep to my knowledge. But it was like I was woken up, like, and I had no grogginess, which is weird. I always get like weird when I wake up in the middle of the night and there's no reason for it. You know, like, I don't have to use the restroom. I'm not thirsty. What is it? And so that night was one of those nights. And I sort of laid there to go back to sleep. And out of nowhere, I hear Jasmine. And I was like, oh, nope, nope. And so at that point, I knew it was no one in the house doing it, but I knew I had to go wake Rose up. And I shook her awake and I said, Rose, did you just call my name? And she was like, what? No. Like, she was so groggy, so tired. She did not do it. And so I had to go on a full walkthrough of the house and go upstairs. Everyone in their room is knocked out, sleeping. The kids in their rooms sleep. And so, you know, I told my brother, I said, something called my name last night. And I was really weirded out because nobody was awake. And he said, oh, you're just, you know, you're dreaming. But I asked his kids, I said, have you guys ever had any like weird experiences in the house? Like, at night. And my middle nephew, who is like 8 or 9 now, and at the time he was like, I don't know, maybe 6, or oh, he might have been a little smaller, maybe 5 or 6, he said at night his toe is always poked and pinched, and when he wakes up it's a dark shadow sitting on the floor waiting, like just sitting on the floor looking at him.
That's utterly frightening.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he told me that, and I told my brother, I was like, your son is seeing a shadow person. And I told him I saw one when I was a kid, and my brother still did not get it. And so, you know, some people really don't believe in the paranormal, but at the same time it's happening all around them and affecting the, you know, the family and stuff. And it was just something that I still think about to this day, and I still get chills, like goosebumps, when I think about it, you know. And I was like, I am not going back to their house.
Yeah, that's absolutely frightening. That is a terrifying story. And again, you know, I'll save some of this content for when my son comes on your show.
Okay.
But when he was a child, he too seen a shadow person pretty much every night in his room. That would just be in his room. And I saged the house. I cleaned the walls with ammonia, and nothing would get rid of the shadow person. And I asked my son, I said, well, tell me about the shadow person. And he was adamant that this was a female spirit, like a female entity that was in the room, which was interesting because I had always seen like male shapes where he was seeing a female shape. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, are you scared? And he said, no, except for the fact that there's a shadow just like chilling in my room. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, does the shadow do anything? And he said, no. And I was like, all right, well, you're good. But if anything ever bothers you, then you need to like, come hit me up. Like, we're not, we got to take this to the next level.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When he was younger, he did experience that. Now, when I learned about the saging and cleansing the walls with ammonia, I remember my grandmother referencing burning sage, but I didn't really understand that when I was a kid. Now, when I got older and after we had this doppelganger voice of baby Jesse coming in the house, who really wasn't baby Jesse, mm-hmm. I went back to my grandmother line. You know, my grandmother had already passed on, but I went to my son's great grandmother, Grammy, my son's father's grandmother. And I said, Grammy, this is what happened. And I remember she rubbed her hands together. She sat at the edge of her bed and she said, okay, we got some work to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she said, you got to burn this sage. You got to wash your walls with ammonia. Like, here's what you got to do, because now whoever that is, whatever that is messing with your baby, and your baby is seeing it and hearing it. And I think that was the most disturbing thing for me, was that my child heard this and
received it.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You heard it together. That was
wrestling. We heard it together and my child responded. So it was very frightening. Now, here's another story that is probably equally as terrifying, but kind of funny in its own way. So me and the bestie, we're chilling at the house. We're cooking in the kitchen and our boys, our three boys who are all a year apart, are playing in the backyard. And it's a very safe, closed off backyard. Everything's locked up. And they were pretty much right in front of us. So we could see them through this sliding glass door that we knew would slide close and lock on us. And we had the door open. The kids were playing. And here comes Alvin and Jesse. And they're angry. And they come in the house. And I said, boys, what's wrong? And Alvin said, the lady yelled at us. And I said, oh, okay. And we had a particularly rude, cranky neighbor next door. And sometimes she would yell at the kids if they were being too loud, and she was in the backyard like watering her garden and didn't want to be bothered with children. And we would just ignore her because we knew that she was cranky. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, it's the cranky lady next door. So Jesse says, yeah, she told us to stop throwing rocks at the window. And I said, well, yeah, guys, don't throw rocks at the window. And then I said, well, show me, where's the lady? So we go in the backyard and they point to Alvin's bedroom. Now, it was just the three boys, me and my best friend, that were at the house. No one else was in the house and we were in the kitchen cooking. So I said, that's where the woman was in Alvin's bedroom. And both little boys said, yeah, she was there. And she yelled at us to stop throwing rocks at the window. And I said, Alvin, were you throwing rocks? And he goes, no, Jesse was. And then Jesse says, no, Alvin was. So clearly they were throwing rocks at the window. But the scary part was that that was in Alvin's room. And whoever that lady was on the inside yelling at them not to throw rocks at the window.
Oh, that's so creepy.
It's creepy and it's kind of funny, you know, because they were like mad that they couldn't throw rocks at the window. I mean, right. Like, kid stuff, right? Like they were mad that this woman chastise them for doing something that they clearly were not supposed to be doing. My sister-in-law best friend was freaked out. She was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We got to move.
Literally get out of there.
Yeah. That was pretty terrifying.
You know, that's so interesting because, you know, I always think about like time slips and paranormal experiences, and you know, it gives me like doppelganger, time slip. It gives me so many different vibes. I just don't know which one.
Yes. So it's You know, it's interesting because we kind of went from sleep paralysis experience to this paranormal, but I really feel like people who experience sleep paralysis and experience different planes of existence while they're sleeping are probably more sensitive to these other things as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why we kind of experience all of these things throughout our life.
Oh, yeah.
So again, you know, kind of connecting back to the matrilineal connection that I've seen throughout my life, I had a miscarriage. And Alvin was probably, I'm trying to think, he was like 3. And I got pregnant, I had a miscarriage. And I remember waking up every night after the miscarriage for about 2 or 3 weeks and seeing that red light and that red person coming in my room. And then after that, I would wake up in the middle of the night and look for both of my babies. And I did that for months. And it was, it became almost a routine where I would wake up and frantically search for both of my babies, Alvin and this other baby that I lost. And then I would start waking up from it and say, nope, I just got the one. I just have Alvin. But it really felt like this other baby that I lost was still kind of there with me. It was very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life is so deep.
Yeah,
we barely just scratched the surface. You know, I think about that all day and every day, because how can you not, with the beauty of life, but also life can be so sad, you know, and it can be so, so tragic, you know, just so many notes of life. And it's so crazy to just be experiencing this, you know.
It is. And here's the other thing too, when women are pregnant, you know, we're actively doing everything we can to nourish and protect our babies. Mm-hmm. We're eating right, we're taking our multivitamins, we're exercising, we're hydrating more than we ever have in our lives. But while we're doing that, our babies are actually protecting us and they're giving us stem cells. So there's this exchange that happens with our babies, and it starts very early on. And I thought about that, you know, because my sleep paralysis and my awareness around things really heightened after I got pregnant with my son. And then even after the miscarriage, I experienced like a long period of having that heightened sort of feeling and, you know, looking for both of my kids and truly feeling like both of them were there with me. Of course, it was just the one that was there with me. And I had that for a long time until I ended up moving. And so this is interesting. So I moved into another house and it was beautiful. I just absolutely loved the layout. It had this great basement. It was really big. The upstairs was like a converted attic. So it was huge. And that was my son's room. And it was huge. He had room for his little desk and his bed, and it was just a really big space. You know, my nephews would come and play, his friends would come and play. It was great. And it also had a resident there too. So about a month after we moved in, I went down into the basement and I seen this big ball of light just kind of come hit me. Like, and I noticeably like fell back a little bit. And I remember saying out loud, "Yo, you didn't have to announce yourself like that." And I felt this presence for a very long time in the home. And it was funny because another one of my very good friends, Marshall, she came over and it was her first time being in the house. And she was walking around, you know, because I had just moved in. And she goes, "Yeah, this is really nice." And then she went to the bathroom and she comes out and she said, "Yo, you know you got a ghost lady in your house?" And I said, "Yes, I have met her." And she was like, "Okay," because when I was in the bathroom, she literally asked me what I was doing here. And who I was. Funny. So she so Marshall definitely has this connection as well. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because her and I, we would talk about this entity that was in the house. And we even affectionately named the entity Mabel.
Oh,
so Mabel had like grandma energy, and she would just kind of come around and you could kind of feel her presence just a little bit. Usually when I was cooking, I would feel her presence. And when Marcelle was there, it was always when she was washing her hands or had some sort of running water, she would feel that presence.
That is so cool. You know, she, and you know, the smells and the water probably were her triggers and sort of being around.
Being around family, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And that was a situation where I never felt anything malevolent. And it was, again, almost like a comforting. It was almost like that grandma sort of energy. And it didn't bother me at all. Now, one of my most terrifying sleep paralysis experience did occur in this house. It had nothing to do with Mabel, though. I was laying in bed, so I will share this experience. I was laying in bed and I heard my son again, because he was in this converted attic, gigantic bedroom. And I heard him get out of bed and run across his room and run down the stairs and come into my room. I heard the door open and I thought, okay, he's going to ask me something. He's coming to wake me up. So I started to say his name. I started to say Alvin. And when I said Alvin, nothing came out. And I was choking on the words. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. It's going to be a nasty sleep paralysis. And I heard whatever this was. I could not even open my eyes, nor do I think I want to. At this moment, I do not think that I wanted to open my eyes. I think I was purposefully keeping them closed. And I heard this thing, whatever it was, breathing so deeply. It sounded like a hog or something. Like, have you ever been to a farm and heard pigs?
Oh, yeah.
Or hogs? Mm-hmm. So it kind of like the breathing was that loud and disgusting. Mm. And it came onto the bed and it laid on top of my chest and pretty much like laid on my body and was in my ear with this nasty breathing, and I could not move. And then as the breathing kind of eased up, I felt the weight pull off of me, and then I was able to move. And then I just sat up and started crying. I was like, that was one of the most terrifying sleep paralysis experiences. Mm-mm. That I have had.
Oh no, that's terrible. You know, it's so intense when you can hear like them getting closer, you know, yes. Whatever it is, getting closer. And they make sure to have those stomps or the footsteps. It's just, it's so strange, you know, like, unless you have experienced it, everyone out there, it's so hard to explain because it's so real. And everything leading up into the footsteps and feeling like the actual energy and the feeling of something real touching you, it's so hard to explain.
Something real, but something that you've never experienced on this plane of existence. Mm-hmm. In your day-to-day life, it's not like your cat comes and jumps on your chest. You feel that energy and you recognize, okay, that's my cat. Mm-hmm. Or even like when your kid does come in your room, you feel the energy, you feel them and you go, oh, that's my kid. Let me wake up. What's going on? But this is a type of energy that is just demented almost. Like, I can't really explain it any other way, but it's demented and terrifying.
Uh-huh. It's like perfectly thought out, but perfectly thought out, like Silent Hill kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So
yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, kind of moving away from all of the terrifying experiences and maybe talking about some of the more interesting experiences I've had with sleep paralysis that weren't absolutely terrifying. So in the sleep paralysis, well, I'm not even gonna say sleep paralysis. Let me back that up. It's more of the dream state, but it's more vivid dreaming. I've had some very interesting, insightful types of dreams. And it's almost like it starts with a sleep paralysis where I'm feeling that heaviness and I'm feeling that vibrating in my body. And then I shift into, it's almost like another dimension. Mm-hmm. In terms of where I'm going in the vivid dreaming. And I've had some very interesting experiences. Like, I had one where I traversed this highly pixelated plane where it seemed like every shape, every color was almost alive. It was very intriguing and it wasn't frightening. It was more beautiful. And I stayed there for a very short period of time. I wish I could go back. Like, I think about it. I've even tried to listen to Tibetan bells and other things before I go to sleep to see if I can trigger that experience that I've had before, because it felt so interesting. So that was one positive experience. And then another positive experience that I have, and it's a reoccurring dream, is I literally visit the same town in my dream often. And the layout, the geographic layout of the city is all the same. There's a boardwalk, there's beautiful homes, and for some reason, the sun is gigantic there. I cannot explain that, but every time I'm there, the sun is absolutely gigantic. But it feels interesting, and I've had so many different dreams within that city and within that town. So that part is always beautiful, and when I'm dreaming that, and when I'm seeing that, it's always daytime. Now, an interesting part of this dream and of this city is that it's unknown throughout the city that you're not supposed to be out after the sun goes down. And I don't quite know what that means, but every time I'm visiting there, when the sun, the gigantic sun, starts to go down, everyone in the city is like, okay, time to go. Come on. We got to go get some shelter. We're all going in. Again, kind of like that Silent Hill sort of feeling. And then it turns a little bit weird, but I've never had a dream after the sun goes down.
Wow. Oh my gosh, so many questions, because, you know, I too have those, that one location or two locations that is very reoccurring, very like almost like soul ties, you, if you will, like you've been connected there before. And that's why you end up sort of going back in your astral naturally. And it's more of like a hazy dreamlike state because it is so natural to be there, you know? And so, you know, my sort of townish area is this sort of like beachy like townish area, and I've been several things in this area. I've been a shoe polisher, I've been a nanny, like yes, like full-on lives I'm living in this, or jobs I'm getting and quitting, you know, like as this other entity that I was or am or whatever is in this sort of like plane, you know, like I have vivid like lucid dreams of literally like watching this couple's child, and I was like, so am I your nanny or what? And that, like, they're like giving me the keys, but they have this strange grin, you know, it's so weird. And then I'll get in my like car, but like in speed away, but the thing is going so slow. But like, you know, I've been to several homes in this area, like events. It's so crazy because when I wake up, I'm like, oh, that wasn't real. You know, that's the question I have afterwards, because it feels so real.
That's so interesting. I've in this city with this beautiful boardwalk. It's so interesting because mostly when I visit, I always go down to the beach and I always see someone who looks and feels like family, if that makes sense, if that makes any sense, where they look like they could be related to me, like similar features, and they're always comforting and have that family energy. So it's really interesting. And I remember vividly having this dream, and it was a couple of years ago that I had this, but I was sitting on the boardwalk. And this man, again, looked like he could be related to me, just came and sat next to me and talked to me and was like having this whole therapy session and was like giving me advice. I don't remember all of the advice that he gave me, but I do remember that before we parted, he looked at me and he said, I do, you don't, we will till we won't. And I still have no idea what that means, but it stuck with me and it sounded poetic. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hold on to this. Maybe it'll make sense 10, 20, 30 years from now. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I think it's interesting going back to what you were saying about being a nanny and having these whole lives. I did have this dream where I had a whole other life. I looked like me for the most part, right? There wasn't too many differences. It was me. I had this beautiful, amazing husband. And when I say beautiful and amazing, he was not all that. All right. He was just like average, but his energy was beautiful. And he truly, it felt like love. It felt like he truly loved me. And we had this beautiful marriage, relationship, home. I think I was a housewife. I didn't have a career. Mm-hmm. And he did some sort of, you know, like, I think it was mid-level management at a factory. Like, it was very detailed what we did. And the overall feeling was just this deep sense of love. And I remember when I woke up, I was like searching for this husband person. And I looked around and I was like, wait, this isn't my house.
Yeah.
It wasn't my dream house. It was the house that I lived in, you know, where we are now, right? It was not my dream house. And I remember looking over and seeing my partner. He and I, we've long since broke up. But I remember looking at him and like rolling my eyes like, oh my God, that was a dream. And where is my real dream man? Okay, because this ain't it. He ain't it right here.
That's so funny.
I was like depressed for like a month. Like I missed and I grieved this whole relationship. And it was just one dream, but I missed and I grieved this whole love and relationship that I had in this dream and this overwhelming feeling. And so like after I got through my little, okay, that was just a dream. He ain't real. You know, this is the dude that I'm stuck with for right now. I got over that. And I was at Starbucks. There was a Starbucks next to my job. And I'll be damned if I didn't see that man in the Starbucks. And I just looked at
him. Parallels.
Yes. And he looked at me. And he was a police officer because there was a police station like right there next to my job as well. And he looked at me and I just got my coffee and I was like, oh, hell no, there is no way that I'm seeing this dream man. And he came up to me and he said, do I know you? And I said, I think I've seen you around.
Oh my gosh. You know what? He's having dreams too.
Right. So I said, you know, I work down the street. You're a police officer. The police station's right there. We've probably seen each other around. I did not want to admit any other possibility to myself. Again, because I was in this kind of dead end relationship. Well, then I didn't know it was dead end, but you know, now it's long dead end.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to admit to myself that it could have been anything else. So I just brushed it off and was like, oh yeah, you know, just seeing each other around. I walked back to my office so quick and called my best friend and was like, girl, remember the dream man that I've been like mourning over?
I'm sure she was like,
lights. Like, you need to go back and get him. And I was like, no, I can't even do it. What am I supposed to do? Just go up to this man and be like, no, we are happily married in this other life that I had in a dream. And then that man would be like, so you're cray cray, I'm good.
Okay, so, you know, in my mind, he would have said, you know what? I had the same dream.
Girl, I'm like, let me see him today. No, I'm just playing.
Today is the day.
Look, and I actually never seen him again after that, which I thought was odd because I usually see a lot of the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at that particular job or at that job location, I would see a lot of the police officers on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because we were all getting coffee around the same time.
Oh yeah. So yeah.
It was odd to me years later and reflecting upon that situation that I never seen him again after that. It was just that one time. And I just thought it was so interesting that he approached me and said, do I know?
Mm-hmm. That is so crazy. And it's almost like if you haven't seen him ever again, like, does he even belong here in this time frame, in this dimension, you know, like, ugh.
Right. Was that just a moment that we had?
Right. Maybe. Was right? It like was it things sort of aligning all at once, you know?
The realities shift just for a moment.
Exactly. Like, you know, the mandala effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my
Maybe
gosh.
That's a piece of it, right?
Thinking so much. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Oh no. I said, that's a piece of it, right? Like it could be, I mean, I think that there's so much more to the Mandela effect then maybe we know, like we just see little pieces of it where collectives and groups of people remember a very specific fact different from the majority of people. I've experienced that as well, where it's like, and it's over little things. Like I distinctly remember this actor dying and his show being canceled because he died. And there was even like a tribute to him at the final episode that he shot. And it was like, you know, we're so sorry to lose him. Oh man, I'm gonna have to think of that actor's name. It's not coming to me right now, but his sitcom was canceled because he passed away. And then like 2 or 3 years later, I'm seeing a new sitcom with him in it. And I was like, this guy's dead. I'm so confused. So I even Googled it and there were other people that remember him dying as well. And it was like, wow, okay. Dimensional shifts going on here.
And, you know, it's a lot. And like, that's what I mean with like, not really fully understanding the reality we live in now, you know, and we're just products of it, you know, so we are assessing inside the bubble of it all. And it's, you know, it's quite interesting to see how it unfolds. We're going to have to do a part two.
I think so. There's so much to talk about.
And or part three.
Right. And we have these different parallels and commonalities. It's really interesting. And I will say it's validating and refreshing to hear someone else talk about these things. I talk about it with a couple of my friends. Some of my friends give me the side eye like, okay, you've been watching too many horror movies. But I do have friends that deeply resonate and feel what I'm saying. My son as well. And I'm really looking forward to when he comes on your show because he's got some stories.
Okay, yes, I'm so interested. We're ready. You know, whenever he's ready, let's get him on the show.
That sounds wonderful. He has some time for sure.
Yeah, yes. So what we're going to, what I'm going to do is we're going to set up a call so we can have another session because it's just not enough time in one podcast session to really, you know, even share all of our experiences. So I think the audience will really find this as a treat. And you know, a lot of people will relate to the stories that we've shared tonight. And, you know, viewers out there, let us know what you think. You know, we have Instagram and then Facebook, you know, you can connect with us there and let us know what you think about the show. But, we really want you to give your feedback on everything. So, Lena, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and the audience for always tuning in, no matter how long the hiatus is. You guys really make my day tuning in to Sleep Snatchers and bringing forth these very interesting things that happen within our bodies, you know, like sleep paralysis, lucid dreaming, out of body experiences. These are groundbreaking experiences. So the more we talk about it, the more we will know. So thank you guys so much and have a great, great day or night, wherever you are.